And I've had enough trouble in my own lifetime determining why I come without trying to figure out why you come. But when I was first saved, the reason I kept coming to church is because they put me on a guilt trip continuously. Every time I'd go to church, the preacher either preached on Christ crucified, salvation by grace, or security of the believer, or Jesus is coming. Well, it put me on a guilt trip, because when I thought about Christ having died for me and the price that he paid, I came to church out of guilt. And you say, well, that's the right reason to come. No, it isn't. And when they would teach about security of the believer and how I couldn't lose my salvation no matter what I did, then that would put me on another kind of guilt trip. Well, if I can't lose my salvation, then I know it, and then I quit going to church, it's a way of telling the Lord, well, I believe I can do anything I want. So that put me on another guilt trip. And then when they preached about Jesus coming, and I preach all these things, and I believe all those things, it put me on another guilt trip, because I would be afraid that when he came, there'd be a bunch of stuff that I'd get jumped on for. So I came to church out of guilt. A lot of people do that. The reason I know that is because I did it for most of my life. You say, well, is there anything wrong with that? No, it's fine. But there's a much better reason for coming to church. After Christ saved you from eternal damnation in hell, he did not want you to keep serving him out of guilt or out of fear that he was going to put the double whammy on you if you made a couple of wrong steps and got out of line. That's a terrible reason for coming to church. It's a reason, and if that's the reason you're coming, keep coming for that reason, unless you want to start coming for the right reason. The right reason has to do with something that the Lord knew we human beings would need as an incentive to be faithful. Now, I've had people say, oh, I don't want the reward of the Lord. I just want to come to church because I love him. And they're the very ones that don't come very often. But they must really love him when they do. Now, the reason for coming to church is based on promises that God made us as an incentive to show us how much he loved us, so that out of love and respect and admiration for his promises that are to come in the inheritance, we'd want to come to church. No one knows exactly when the tribulation period is going to begin, and a lot of people are hoping, like 60, that I'm wrong and I don't know what I'm talking about. And that's a terrible attitude. But you know, you'd be surprised how many missionary Baptists in these churches I've been to, they say, oh, Brother Michael Murray, I hope you're wrong. I hope the tribulation period doesn't start right away. They don't think about what they say. It's almost like saying, well, Lord, in mercy, I'm just not ready for that. But that's when the Lord's going to come. Now, we're going to enter a period of tribulation here before too much longer. My guess is within the next 8 years. But it's a guess. I admit that. But it's an educated guess. And it's based on the Bible. But following the tribulation period of time, the worst part of it, about 3.5 years, we're going into the millennium. Now, the Lord has given me some wonderful incentives for being faithful to him, for obeying him, and for being obedient to him. And he's promised me certain things in the millennium, and he's promised me in the heaven age that follows it, a continuation of future blessings that are even better than the millennial reign. That's why I come to church. That's why I'm still in the ministry. I believe these promises. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, that by these exceeding great and precious promises we might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides all this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And indicated that if you would add these things to the faith that saved you by being a partaker of Christ's nature, getting to know him personally and better, that you would have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. So those are the incentives. Now let's talk about this everlasting inheritance. This is an everlasting inheritance. The millennial earth and the new heaven earth, which follows, are the eternal inheritance of all those who are born again, saved by his grace. Let me read that again. The everlasting inheritance. This is what every saved person has a right to expect. The millennial earth and the new heaven earth, which follows, are the eternal inheritance of all those who are born again, saved by his grace. So if you've been saved by his grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So if you put your faith in Jesus, and you're trusting him to keep you from eternal damnation in hell, you're saved. You've got your faith in Jesus and him alone to protect you and to deliver you, and you have no confidence in yourself, but you believe his promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So your inheritance is real, and it's genuine. We're going to take a look at it in a minute. This is your inheritance. You have a promise from God that if you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to get to live for 1,000 years on this earth in a glorified body. That's the present earth right here, the one we're on now. He's going to return at the end of the tribulation period, and he's going to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. He's going to have a temple complex and a temple in the midst of it, and he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem on this earth, and all the saved are going to be scattered all over this earth in glorified bodies. That's his promise. It's in the Bible. It's very clear. Then he promises that after that, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. I personally don't believe it's going to be made out of the same substance as this. It's made out of whatever is not on a periodic chemistry chart. It's not made of nickel, iron, stone, zinc, the things we're familiar with. It's made of something that can reappear and appear behind closed doors, the same kind of glorification body that Christ received. It's the same thing angels are made of. I don't know what it is. But this new earth and this new heaven, I'm going to get to live there. I have the absolute assurance of God. I know I'm going to live on this present earth in a glorified body. I know for a fact I'm going to live on the new earth in a glorified body. Why? John 3:7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Again means from above. You have to be born again. Why? Because he tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15:50, just before he talks about the rapture and catching out of the saints, he says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There has to be a spiritual transformation inside you that's known as the new birth, which occurs when you call upon the name of the Lord to save you. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, I've been saved. I've called upon Christ to save me. I don't have my confidence, my faith in anyone else or anything else, and Jesus has saved me, and he's going to see that I get a glorified body. He's going to see that I don't go to hell. He's already resurrected me with him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now notice what Jesus said in John 3:3. Verily, Jesus answered and said unto him, that is Nicodemus, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, that's what the word again means, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't perceive it. You can't grasp it. You can't understand it. I've had many people who are saved, who do have Christ living inside them. And they say, I talk to this man all the time, and he doesn't know what I'm talking about. When I talk to him about the kingdom, and I talk to him about the promises of God, and I talk to him about the millennial earth and the heaven age, he doesn't have any idea what I'm talking about. And they can't understand it. Well, I can. You can't perceive or understand, grasp anything until you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior. He gives you his life. He comes alive in you. You say, well, how do you know he will? That's faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you make up your mind that you're going to come to Jesus and ask him to save you, he saves you. And then you can perceive, you can see the kingdom of God. You can begin to grasp and understand it. Then you can be obedient to the Lord. You cannot be obedient to the Lord until you've been obedient in calling upon his Son's name to save you. And then after you're saved and Christ comes to live in you and you've experienced the new birth, then he leads you to baptism. You may put up a terrible fight against it, and I don't see why, because it's so easy to come, supposedly, to baptism after you've been saved. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath is a present indicative active. It means that the moment you believe on the Son for your salvation, take your faith out of everything else and put it totally in him, not in yourself, your works, your church membership, your baptism, anything. Just put it in Jesus and ask him to save you. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I received it 56 years ago. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you can lose it. How could I possibly lose it? I got it 56 years ago, and God said it was everlasting, so if I lost it, then God lied. And I say that reverently. God can't lie. I do have everlasting life. I have a promise of an inheritance. I'm going to be on a new earth in a glorified body, and I'm going to be on a new earth in a new heaven in a glorified body. I have that absolute assurance from God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. People that are lost can't see the purpose of serving God. They can't see the purpose of coming to church. They can't see the purpose of anything. They cannot comprehend it. They cannot grasp it. But the wrath of God abideth on him. They're headed straight for hell. He tells you why. John 5:24. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you're hearing it right now, and believeth on him that sent me. Do you believe God the Father sent him? Do you believe Christ died for you on the cross? Do you believe he offered his life for your sins? Do you believe he can take away your sins? Do you believe he can save you? Do you believe that he can give you his life? Do you believe he can resurrect you from the dead? Then you have heard his word. Call on him. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present indicative active, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. You don't ever have to worry about coming back under the condemnation of God once you've come to Christ, but is passed from death unto life. So what do I have right now as an absolute ironclad guarantee from Almighty God by His Spirit? I'm saved. I'm going to live on this present earth for 1,000 years when Jesus returns in a glorified body. That's the inheritance. I have it. I also have this inheritance. As soon as this earth passes away and he creates a new heaven and a new earth, I'm going to dwell on the new earth in a glorified body. That is the inheritance. I absolutely, positively, guaranteed by God, have it. So do all of you that are saved. That's the inheritance. Period. That's it. That's the inheritance. Okay. Now let's talk about the reward of the inheritance. And here is where we start to talk about why should I be faithful to God after I'm saved? Why should I come to church? Why should I make an honest effort to be faithful? This is what many different religious groups get so mixed up on that they try to work their way to heaven. They can't believe that Jesus alone saves. And they get all the scriptures that have to do with this completely mixed up and confused. The reward of the inheritance. I have the inheritance. Now let's talk about a reward of the inheritance. What is the reward of the inheritance? It is the eternal prize in the inheritance. Yeah, I have an inheritance. I'm going to be on the new heaven, new earth. But there's a prize there. There's a reward of the inheritance. There's something in that inheritance that's magnificent and wonderful. Do you want it? You want to claim it? The eternal prize in the inheritance. The Millennial Age Kingdom Temple and the Millennial Age New Jerusalem Kingdom City represent the prize. The reward of the inheritance, reserved as the eternal abode for the saved of this age who are faithful to Christ in one of his true local churches. You've got to run the race, obey the rules, be where you're supposed to be, running the race you're supposed to be racing, in order to have the reward of the inheritance, the prize. Now, I have the inheritance. Guaranteed. But I want the prize. I want the reward of the inheritance. Well, what is the reward of the inheritance? The Millennial Age Kingdom Temple and the Heaven Age New Jerusalem Kingdom City represent the prize, the reward of the inheritance, reserved as the eternal abode for the saved of this age who are faithful to Christ in one of his true local churches. It is the abode of his bride and of the faithful of all the ages. So I'm going to be in the millennial reign, and I'm going to be in the heaven age. That's the inheritance. But I want the prize. This is the prize. This will be in the final heaven age. We're now in the tribulation. Pretty soon we're going to be in a millennium, which I'll talk about in a moment. And then pretty soon we're going to be in a heaven age. This is what I'm running right now. I'm already saved. The place I'm supposed to run it is in a local church. Ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I'm in the right place, and I'm running in my lane. And I'm following the rules written in the Bible that God gave us, the living Word of God. And I'm running for this prize. I'm running with the power of Christ that indwells me. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the prize. That's what Paul was running for the tape for. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was already saved. He was already scripturally baptized. He was already a member of one of the Lord's churches, and he was running a race for a prize. Now, this is the prize in the millennial reign, right here. In the millennial reign, on this present day earth, on which we now live, right now, you're going to have the same earth, exactly the same earth, considerably broken up and shaken by the tribulation period, but 1,000 years of rebuilding. In Jerusalem, in Israel, and in Jerusalem here, you're going to have this area, according to Ezekiel chapters 40 through 47, you're going to have a section marked off here that I call the temple complex. This is the temple that's going to be in it. And I want to live in this temple. I want to be where Christ is. That's the prize in the millennium on the present day earth that follows this age. And I at least want to try to live in this temple complex, which is a very large area that you see marked off here, this being the city of Jerusalem down here at the present time. So this is where the bride's going to live from this age. It's where the faithful of all the ages are going to live. And this millennial temple, the exact blueprint instructions are completely outlined in Ezekiel chapters 40, 41, and 42. This is exactly what it will look like according to those instructions. That is going to be followed by a heaven age. The heaven age follows a complete renovation of the earth. Now, when I say a renovation of the earth, I personally believe the earth is going to become the lake of fire, and I think it's going to be cast away forever, and I think this is going to be a brand new earth and a brand new heaven that follows the millennial age and it lasts forever. Out here, the new earth, the inheritance. Right here, sitting on it, 3/5 the size of the United States, is a heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. That is the kingdom city of the final heaven age, and that is the prize. That's what I'm running for. I want to live in that city. Now, I have assurance I'm going to live on this earth, and I know I'm going to live on this earth here in the millennial reign, but I want to be where Jesus is, and Jesus is going to position himself in this temple. The 43rd chapter of Ezekiel clearly indicates that. Just flat says it. So here's where Jesus is going to dwell in the millennium. That's where I want to be. And here's where he's going to dwell in the heaven age. Now, believe it or not, I have had people tell me, well, I'm saved, Brother Michael Murray, and I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to live close to him. Do you know why? They don't want to live close to him here. You say, how close can you get to him? Assembling together in one of his local New Testament churches, he says, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Get in one of God's local New Testament churches, serve him in it, be faithful in it, you're running the race. You can't get any closer to him because that's where he positions himself in this age and time. But the people that don't want to live close to him here are not going to live close to him in heaven. You say, well, is this purgatory out here? Is this some deep, dark place? It's not any fun. Oh, it'll be wonderful. You'll have a glorified body and you'll like it out here, but not near as much as you would in the city. You say, well, I don't know if I can believe all that. Well, why not? You believe God saved you. You believe Christ is his son. You believe he died for you on the cross. Do you think God wrote part of the truth and the rest of it was an error? No, it's all the truth. And these things are clearly promised in the Word of God. It's what I talk about all the time, and I do it for your benefit. I know sometimes it gets old because I keep talking about it. This is the reward of the inheritance, the eternal prize in the inheritance. The Millennial Age Kingdom Temple and the Heaven Age New Jerusalem Kingdom City represent the prize, the reward of the inheritance, reserved as the eternal abode of the saved of this age who are faithful to Christ in one of his true local churches. It is the abode of his bride and of the faithful of all the ages. Philippians 3:14. That's the prize that Paul was running for. That's why he went through all the sufferings, trials, tribulations that he went through. Now, I won't lie to you. If you commit yourself to being faithful in his church, and you make it the number one priority in your life, because it is the local body of Christ, and you honestly, truthfully try to do what the Lord wants, you are going to suffer persecution. Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. You're going to get your little feelings hurt every once in a while. You're going to have people say unkind things about you. You're going to be called a religious fanatic. You're going to be called crazy. You're going to be told you don't know what you're talking about. And you will be told this by people who are saved and know the Lord as their Savior, but do not wish to make a firm commitment to serve God in the place He designated. Paul pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice what he says in Colossians 3:23-24. Now, we're not talking about going to heaven here. We're talking about the prize that awaits you there for faithfulness. We're talking about the prize that awaits you for submitting to baptism, which is the first commandment God gives after you're saved. We're talking about being faithful to that church and in that church for the rest of your life, not just when it's convenient. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Heartily is ex psyche. It literally means from the saved soul. God saved your soul. You're going to heaven. You have the inheritance. Now, how would you like to have the prize? Well, you've got to do it from that saved soul, and you've got to do it to a person, as to the Lord. Why do so many people change churches? Because they don't like the pastor. Because they don't like the other church members. Because they don't like this, they don't like that, because it doesn't suit their fancy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you've got to learn to do what you do to the Lord. And you've got to learn to quit wearing your feelings on your shirt sleeve and start doing everything you do for the Lord and not for men or what men think of you. And once you learn to do that, you're going to be a real blessing to the pastor and to the rest of the flock. And once the pastor learns to do it, he's going to be a real blessing to the rest of the flock and to himself. You've got to learn to serve God. That's for the prize. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. What is the reward of the inheritance? It's the millennial temple and the complex in Jerusalem when Jesus returns to reign for 1,000 years on the earth. It's the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. Then he tells you why you need to do this. For ye serve the Lord Christ. You're not supposed to serve men. You're not supposed to serve the ideals and aptitudes of men. You're supposed to realize who it is that's going to be up there that gives you this reward. It's not men and what they think of you. And if you go through life wearing your feelings on your shirt sleeve, you never have grown up spiritually. If you learn to work for the Lord, you won't care what people say to you or what they do to you. You'll just go ahead and serve the Lord. And I guarantee you, he's never going to jump on you for serving him. The inheritance prize for the faithful. The inheritance is the new heaven and new earth. Here's the prize: to live in this complex in Jerusalem in the millennial reign on this present earth. And the greatest prize of all is to live in that millennial temple where Christ is. There's going to be a complete renovation of the earth by fire. There's going to be a brand new earth, a brand new heaven. That's the inheritance. But this is the prize, the kingdom city, the new Jerusalem that sets on it 3/5 the size of the United States. That's exactly where I want to live. That's exactly where I want to live. I may not end up living there, but I have the inheritance assured. Why shouldn't I make an attempt to run the race? And why shouldn't you do it? The reward of the inheritance, the eternal prize in the inheritance. Now, the inheritance is the new heaven and new earth, and you're going there and have a glorified body if you're saved, guaranteed. But we're talking about the reward of the inheritance, and we're talking about the eternal prize in the inheritance. Revelation 7:15. This is what I would like very much. I've had people say, I wouldn't want to be that close to it. Something is wrong if you feel that way. If right now, while I'm showing you this, inside you, you're saying, I don't know if I'd want to be that close. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying. The man who died on the cross and shed his blood for your sins and paid the full price for your redemption and resurrected you and is going to give you the inheritance, you don't want to live close to him? What's the matter? Are you afraid of somebody that loved you and died for you and has watched over you from the time you were conceived in your mother's womb? Doesn't make sense. So the problem is this. It's not him. It's you. And you need to change your attitude. Revelation 7:15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. That's this millennial temple. That's in the 1,000-year reign. How do I know that? Revelation 21:22-24. This is talking about the new Jerusalem, the new earth. It's talking about the final kingdom. And I saw no temple therein. There is no temple in the final heaven age. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So this has to be the first 1,000 years. And here these people are before the throne serving him. So this is where I would like to be for the first 1,000 years. You say, you must really think you're something. No, I'm a little insignificant nerd from Dardanelle, Arkansas, that's an unprofitable, that means not needed servant, who wouldn't even be here if God hadn't created him in his mother's womb, who wouldn't be saved if it hadn't been done totally by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and I wouldn't be up here talking to you except for the mercy of God. I'm nothing. He's everything. So you say, well, what do you think's going to get you there? Serving him and realizing it's all by grace and not by might and power of man. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now he talks about the city. The city had no need of the sun. That's where I want to live, right here. I've got the inheritance assured. I know I'm going to be on this new earth, but I want to live here in this city. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, what about all these people that have the inheritance? They're saved. They've been born from above. They know Christ as their personal Savior. But they have the wrong baptism. They're in the wrong church. They're trying to serve God the wrong way. They're doing it for men. What about all these people that won't commit themselves to the Lord? Won't serve the Lord the way he wants to be served, where he wants to be served? What about where they're going to live? And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Doesn't say they'll walk in it. It says they'll walk in the light of it. It's very light out here. Tremendously light. But would you rather live where the source of the light is, or out here where there's abundant, marvelous light and people in glorified bodies? You're going to have nations, millions probably of people, millions, that live out here. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. I think inside this city you're going to have priests that rule and reign with him. I think you're going to have kings that rule and reign with him. I'm not going to the technical part of it this morning, of who the kings and priests are going to be. But the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings that live in this city, the kings of the earth, they are called the kings of the earth because they go out to the nations of the earth and they do bring their glory and honor into this city. So the question is, where do you want to live? Now, what about in this city? Revelation 22, 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. See this word servant? It's the God-breathed word doulos. There are quite a few words in the Bible translated servant. This is the word doulos. It means a bought and paid for bond servant. It means somebody that was bought off the slave block, that they were totally and completely and utterly under the power of the devil. They were totally separated and lost from their master, and he came and paid the redemption price for them and bought them off the slave block. That's exactly what Jesus did for me, and he bought me off the slave block on the cross. And the blood that he used to pay the price was applied to me 56 years ago when I came trusting in that blood and not in myself. And by his mercy and his grace and his redemptive price that was paid with blood at Calvary and the flesh that was offered for my sins, he set me free. 56 years ago, he saved me. I've been a bought and paid for bondservant ever since. But the problem was I didn't know what I was. I thought I was somebody, but I was a nobody. And when I finally realized I was nobody after I was saved, I came to realize I need to serve my master. I like to have him as a master. I don't mind being a bond servant at all. Look who I'm serving. And the word for serve is doulo, which means a servant that is a bond servant serving him. There are lots of other words translated servant. That's what you have to be. Well, you say, what does a slave or bond servant do? He does what his master tells him. His master tells him to get baptized. He does it. His master tells him to be faithful in his local church. He does it. How long does he do it? Till he draws his last physical breath or until his master comes, one or the other. And they shall see his face. You can't get any closer than that. And his name shall be in their foreheads. It doesn't mean you're going to have a big stamp up there that says Jesus. It means that you are his possession and your thoughts and your life you've surrendered to him. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're in a race if you're saved, and the place to run it is a local New Testament church where all these stones are built up together, and they assemble together, and they learn to love one another. They rub against each other. They get mad at each other. They don't like each other at times, but they get over it, and they get glad, and they have as the head of the church Jesus Christ, the foundation. They have him as the foundation. They have him as the headstone, and they work together, and they work for the prize. The prize is to live in that city, and this is the throne in the city right here. That's where the bride's going to be. That's where the faithful out of the New Testament church age will be. They aren't the only ones that are going to live in there. The faithful of all the ages are going to live in that city, but it's marked on faithfulness. And since you aren't Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, and you're not Enoch, and you're not Abel, since you were born in this church age, you're in the church age, and you're going to have to be faithful in God's church. That's the only way. That is the only way. You're saved by grace through faith. It has nothing to do with the church. But after that, there's a race to be run. Running the race of life after salvation. If you finish the race of life in one of the Lord's churches, still fighting, still running, and still keeping the faith, here is where you will live in the ages to come. How do I know that? Paul said, "For the time of my departure is at hand." This is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I think, verses 6 and 7. Paul said, I have finished, he said, "For the time of my departure is at hand. I have finished my course." Means the race was finished. He knew he was about to have his head chopped off. He knew it. He was in a Roman dungeon. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." You can run this race. You can keep on fighting. And you can keep the faith, which is the system of teaching and doctrine that he delivered to the New Testament church. This is one of God's churches. You say, how do you know that? Because we practice and preach and teach what he taught in the New Testament a church should be like, what it should do, what it should practice. We keep the ordinances the way he told us to, and we're running a race in place where God told us to be. That's how I know we're one of God's churches. So if you do join one of God's churches, once you are a member, you need to fight the fight, run the race, and keep the faith. And you need to be faithful to death. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're talking about receiving the prize when you arise. If you finish the race of life in one of the Lord's churches, still fighting, still running, and still keeping the faith, here's where you will live in the ages to come. In the millennial age, you will live in this temple complex. And this temple is in the complex itself. In the heaven age to follow, you will live in the holy city. That's God's promise to you. Do you believe it? I'll tell you how I know whether or not you believe it. If you're faithful to the Lord and his church, you believe it. If you don't, you're not all that sure. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're talking about your faith growing afterwards. We're talking about adding to your faith knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, the patience godliness, the godliness brotherly kindness, the brotherly kindness charity. That's what we're talking about. If you are not found serving in one of the Lord's churches, you will live outside the temple complex and outside the new city. Now, I'm talking to people of the New Testament era. I didn't live in the patriarchal age of Abraham. I didn't live in the age of innocence in Noah's age. I didn't live when Enoch lived, or Noah, or Moses, or Solomon, or any of them. But I do live in an age where God has a local New Testament church down here. And I do know that if you're saved, you need to be in it and serving. I'm not telling you that because we want your money or because of your great abundant personality and talents. I'm telling you that for your personal needs. That's where you need to be. If you are not found serving in one of the Lord's churches, you will live outside the temple complex and outside the new city. How well you fight, run, and keep the faith in one of his churches determines where you live in the city. If you finish the race, I believe you'll live in the city. But how well you run it, fight it, and keep the faith determines where you live inside the city. How well you serve him outside his church. People say, you can't serve God outside his church. Well, I know it says unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without it. I understand that. But people do serve him outside the church. People do witness. People do preach the gospel. People do teach things. And some people do it extremely well. But you're not going to give glory to God the way God wants it except in one of his local New Testament churches. How well you serve him outside his church determines where you live on the new earth. But if you want to live in that city, if you want to live in the millennial temple complex in the millennial age, and you want to live in the heavenly city, you're going to have to do it in God's church. Now, don't ever come to join this church to be saved. You need to be saved right where you are without any help from me or this church or anybody else, because only the Spirit of God can save you. He alone. You say, well, how do I know he'll do it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Spirit of God was there. The Spirit of God flooded lovingly over the waters. Brothers and sisters of Christ, ladies and gentlemen that don't know Christ, listen. Do you think the Holy Spirit that conceived you in your mother's womb, that has watched over you all these years, if he convicted you of sin in your life and your imperfection and of your need for a Savior, and after he had done that, you came to Jesus and asked him to save you, do you think he's going to say, no, I've changed my mind? That's why Christ came and suffered and bled and died, so you could be saved. Isn't it wonderful I can't save you? Isn't it marvelous this church can't save you? And isn't it marvelous that you can't save yourself? You say, well, I'd like to be saved. Well, I'll tell you who can do it. Jesus Christ. If you believe he's alive, then you'll pray to him. And he is alive. You wouldn't pray to a dead man, would you? In a moment, we're going to have a silent moment of prayer. And in that silent moment of prayer, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, simply ask him to save you from what you are, a sinner. And he'll do it. You say, I don't know if I have that much faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. Do you believe he's alive? Do you believe he died for you on the cross? Then ask him right where you're sitting right now. I'm not going to give you magic words to say. There are no magic words. There's only a heart. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Simply ask Jesus to save you right now, and you have God's promise that he will. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you made salvation totally by grace. If someone this morning has asked your son for salvation, Lord, I know there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Lord Jesus, I know you heard because you're alive and you died so that person could come and ask you for salvation. Help them, Lord, when this invitation is given to come forward and acknowledge that this morning they've trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation. These things I ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As Danny comes, the lights turned on.